97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stazak in the house with you. Here till 8 o'clock tonight. Michael Jordan special coming on tonight. I think a lot of folks will be watching that, I would guess. I would think so. Something to do. Mike was pretty good back in the day. It details the amazing that film has been in the vault since 1997. They finally got it together and put a piece together on it. It's a long piece, like 19 hours worth. My goodness gracious. All right, the Eagles have 8 picks in the upcoming draft. They have their own first-round pick at 21, their own second-round pick at 53. They have a compensatory third-round pick at 103. They have their own pick in the fourth round at 127. They have a compensatory fourth-round pick at 145, another compensatory fourth-round pick at 146. They have a fifth-round pick at 168 that they acquired from the Patriots via the Michael Bennett trade, and they have a sixth-round pick, 190th, from the Falcons via the Jonathan Cyprian trade. So they have 8 picks. What do you do? What's the plan? We're going to get to hear from Les Bowen from the Inquirer. He's going to tell us about some other options. He wrote an article today about what are their other needs, and we'll get his philosophy. Again, I'm pretty much best player available. I'm not necessarily stuck on a wide receiver because I think it's so chock full of good wide receivers. You could probably get one at 57, which is where they are, or trade back. If you don't get your guy, maybe you can still get your guy and acquire another pick or two. I was always looking to be aggressive. Wasn't aggressive in the trade market or free agent market for a wide receiver this offseason. I thought that was weird. You know, they were in the mix for the DeAndre Hopkins trade and couldn't get it done. They couldn't give up. I mean, my God, for what Arizona gave up, you would think the Eagles could have put together a nice package for Bill O'Brien, who for some reason still has a job. But he couldn't get it done. Then he couldn't sign Breshad Perriman or the kid from the Jets who left town. Who else didn't they get the chance to sign? Well, it dried up. It dried up on them. Guys were signed or trades were made, and Eagles got none of it. And Howie, you know, much to everyone's dismay, when he talked at a phone or press conference about two Thursdays ago, he talked about how certainly he didn't sound like we feel about our wide receivers. He sounded pretty optimistic. Well, Deshaun's back and he's healthy. Yeah, he's 33 and he never plays a full season. Alshon, coming off that Lisfranc injury, yeah, his teammates might not like him, and he's old and slow, and he's over 30, and he does have an injury history. Greg Ward, yeah, he was on the practice squad at the beginning of the year. He played out of sheer desperation. And then you have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and how he kind of talked about some of the injuries he's been playing through. The kid can't play. The kid can't play. Simple as that. He's another Mac Hollins, unfortunately. 610-632-0975, and no one's gotten the Brady yet. What did Tom Brady do this past week that irks me beyond belief? Give me a call at 610-632-0975. Let's go to Stephen, King of Prussia, on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Stephen?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Just living the dream. You know how that is, having a corona fighting fire with fire.
You know, there are some people that shied away from drinking that beer because of the coronavirus. I mean, how unintelligent do you have to be to think that that's going to be a problem? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So always warm in a crowd.
Hey, listen, I got a couple things. First thing is, you know, when we talk about what's going to happen when everybody wants to go back and everybody wants sports and this, that, and the other, the thing that nobody's thinking about is, and same thing about opening up the economy and all the other stuff, is there's 30 to 45% of all people are asymptomatic, which means they show no signs, they have no idea they got it, and it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Start opening these places up and seeing what's going on. you know, there's so many. It's going to be, it's basically going to be hitting reset again.
Well, that's what I mean. I think it's going to be a while, because if we come back too soon, we're just going to be back in the same situation.
Well, I think most people think, well, you know, everybody that gets it, I mean, and this is unfortunately the truth. I work for a biotech company, so it's, you know, we know, we see it, and this, it's just a fallacy of what's out there.
What's a fallacy? Talk to me.
The fact that people think, well, we'll get it, everything's kind of plateaued, it's laying down. Well, the only reason it's plateaued is because people are doing what needs to happen, and they need self-distance and everything else. But, I mean, you can see it now just in the last week when people are talking about open the economy, go out, you can have your masks on, blah, blah, blah. But it's going to give a false sense of security to people that everything's okay. And the problem is it's not. And it's not the people that have it that's going to be the issue, you know, that are symptomatic. It's the people that are asymptomatic that have it and don't have any idea they do. That's where it's going to just basically regenerate. And we're going to go right back to where we were. Everything's going to be shut down, and we're going to go back through this, and we're going to set ourselves back 2, 3, 4 months again.
Ugh.
That's the issue.
Okay. Well, let's hope not, man. But I hear you. I think if we come back from this thing too soon, we're going to be right back in the same spot. Hey, brother, I got to keep moving. You want to do the draft simulator?
Yeah, it's going to be a little different, though.
That's all right. Go ahead. Dylan, take it away.
Okay, so CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, and Jerry Jeudy are off the board. Looks like Kenneth Murray is off the board. Patrick Queen is there, though. So,
about C.J. Henderson, is he off?
I'd imagine so. He's been going pretty. Yes, he is off the board. No C.J. Henderson.
Okay, what are you doing there, Steven?
With the 21st pick, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to do something everybody hates and give the pick to somebody they wish they didn't.
Very optimistic. I appreciate it, Steve. Spoken like a true Eagle fan. Yeah, I don't trust him in the draft. I got to be honest, I don't trust him. I don't trust them making the right pick, making the right decision. I mean, they took Clayton. They had 5 picks last year. They took Clayton Thorson with one of them. I mean, really? Really? Did they need a quarterback in the 5th round?
That's okay if the logic of taking a quarterback, they just took a quarterback who couldn't play. If they had gotten someone out. So I think there was someone in there who ended up like showing some potential. I forget who it was who was taken after him. Like, if they would have taken that guy who could be maybe a future backup, sure. I mean, but they took a guy who literally couldn't even make the practice squad.
Couldn't play. Nice scouting. All right, let's go to Charles in the Northeast. My man, on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Charles?
How you doing, my friend?
All right, buddy.
Great. How you doing, bud? Always great hearing you.
You too, pal.
Let me say this, okay? I want a simulator at the end. I always wanted to be on the clock.
Sure.
Let me say this. I hate to always have to dispute something Mike from King of Prussia said. I've already proven him wrong on the Howie thing. Howie's record speaks for itself, and Howie's going to do great on Thursday, I believe. But here's the thing I've heard Mike espousing on a few shows, and it's just wrong, Joe. Mike, if you're out there listening, quarterbacks do not retire anymore in the modern NFL at early 30s.
Yeah, he'll be playing for a while.
Quarterbacks from maybe the 70s till the early 2000s, yeah, it was a more violent game back then. Now with the rules and quarterbacks, if you looked, all the top quarterbacks for the most part, even a great guy that wasn't great like Carson Palmer, they're all playing into their late 30s. The average age that a really good quarterback plays in the league now is either 37 or 38. Hell, Peyton Manning played till 39. He would have played into his 40s if not for the next thing. So, no, he's just wrong on that, too. I hate to always correct you, Mike, but the fact is quarterbacks are playing longer than ever today. And the fact is I expect Carson Wentz to be the quarterback of this team, Joe, for a minimum of 10 years. And if here's one thing, though, that maybe Mike fell into. He might have been right one of the rare times. Carson's window for being great, I think, is in the next 5 years, because I think we're going to see the best of Carson Wentz in the next 5 years, his best 5 years coming up. That may be true. But overall, the longevity, quarterbacks are playing to 37 to 40 years old now. That's just a statistical fact.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I think Mike said he's got like 6 years left. I think he'll play deep into his 30s.
Yeah. And the athlete Wentz, barring major injuries, Joe, and I know you get on Wentz about the injuries, he's going to play to a minimum of 37, 38. I think he might even go into his 40s, to be honest with you. Now, can I get the draft simulator?
Yes, sir, buddy. Take it away, Dylan.
Okay, Charles, for you, the top three wide receivers are all off the board. Oh, it looks like Justin Jefferson is also off the board, but Denzel Mims is there, and so is all the other wide receivers. So top four receivers are gone, and no Kenneth Murray, but there is Patrick Queen. No C.J. Anderson either.
No Kenneth Murray or Jefferson?
Yeah, but Patrick Queen's there, Denzel Mims, and Jalen Reagor, and all those other second tier.
Yeah, I'm going to trade out of that. I'm going to get some picks. Whoever I trade with, I'm going to trade out of that pick, and I'm going to get myself some extra picks because I can get good. I'm not going to reach for a player there. So no, I'm going to trade out of that pick.
Okay, appreciate it, Charles. Thanks for the call, man. And without further ado, I've been promoing him since 4 o'clock since I've been here. One of my favorite scribes. Go back a long way with this guy, Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Inquirer, on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. Hello, Les. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Joe. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing tremendous, man. This is my day out, my big day out. I get to come to work. So I'm happy. I appreciate you coming on. You do good work. I read your articles. You had one on some of their other needs other than wideout, and you had one on the logistics of how the draft is going to work on Thursday night, and how Howie Roseman's house got turned into like his office, and interesting stuff. Let's start with the draft Thursday night. You know, I know the fans are clamoring for a wide receiver, and they do need a wide receiver, but I also think, and you made some good points, that they, and I've been saying this, I said I wouldn't get so locked in because they are, have some other needs, and they don't usually go for a linebacker, but a Kenneth Murray could be your foundation for the next decade if he's there, or Patrick Queen, C.J. Henderson, if he falls, he might be a guy to be on the opposite side of Darius Slay, maybe. You know, you need a day one starter, and I wouldn't personally get so locked in because it is a very, very target-rich environment in terms of wide receivers this year. You could probably get one later in the second round. But they didn't do anything in the trade market or free agency to help bolster the wide receiver position. So what kind of position does that put them in? Does that really kind of put them in a hole where they almost have to take a wide receiver at 21?
Well, you said what I was just going to bring up, Joe. I would feel better. I mean, it is certainly possible to take something else at 21 or to trade back from 21 like the previous caller was going to do if the really top wide receivers aren't there. There's nothing wrong with that, but it sure puts a lot of pressure on that subsequent wide receiver pick when you didn't do anything in free agency or through trades. I've heard people say you can get a starting quality wide receiver as late as the fifth round in this draft and things like that. But my vantage point on the Eagles is they need something more than a, quote, starting quality, unquote, wide receiver. They need a difference maker. And I would almost, if there's a way to trade up and get CeeDee Lamb, even though they have a lot of needs, and if you could somehow do it with some of the draft picks that you give up being next year's, I'd love to get somebody who's really going to be a star, going to be one of the great players in the contemporary history of the franchise. I just think that's a better way to go, but we don't know what's going to happen at 21. They do have a lot of needs. They are down from 10 to 8 picks after doing the Darius Slay trade. And, you know, the scenario you just outlined to that guy a second ago, if the top four are gone and the linebacker from Oklahoma is gone, Murray, and C.J. Henderson is gone, the corner, I probably would be looking to trade back too. Patrick Queen, though, I wouldn't yell at them for taking Patrick Queen.
No, I wouldn't either.
As long as they got the wide receiver, the guy they got in the second round was money. You know, if it was somebody like Reagor or Mims or, you know, Hamler, somebody that you can have a pretty good feeling is going to be better than what they had and really good. But I'd still feel better getting one of the top guys.
Yeah, well, what would it take, do you think? Because I see in so many mock drafts, CeeDee Lamb is around 12 or 13 That's probably where he falls, at least according to these mock drafts I'm looking at by the experts and the pundits, quote unquote. Yeah. What do you think it would take to move up that many spots to take a CeeDee Lamb if they decided to go that route?
I've seen a couple different scenarios. People are getting away from the old Jimmy Johnson value chart thing. I don't know. It would certainly take 21 and probably the second round pick and something else. If you could make this something else, you know, again, from next year, I would give up a high pick next year. You know, for one thing, we don't know, is there going to be a college football season to really evaluate prospects for next year?
Right.
You know, maybe next year's picks aren't going to be, you know, maybe that's going to be a draft that people are just totally unprepared for. And we brought that up with Howie Roseman in our conference call the other day, and his argument was, yeah, what if that doesn't happen? What if, you know, you have enough of a college season and it turns out to be a great draft crop and, you know, you've traded away your top picks?
Yeah.
That would be bad as well. But I would, you know, you get CeeDee Lamb in here and, you know, worry about those other needs later would be my feeling, my emotional feeling anyway. I don't know if that's smart or not.
Okay, well, we shall see. He's projected to be the top wide receiver of the crop, so he killed it for Oklahoma this past year. Now, let me ask you something, because I brought up, I'll shift directions a little bit at the beginning of the show, there's a guy on the blocks from Jacksonville. I'm not even talking about Leonard Fournette. I'm talking about Yannick Ngakoue, who is a pretty dynamite edge rusher. 4 years in, doesn't want to sign a long-term deal. They franchised him and probably looking to move him. Any chance the Eagles could work something that where they can acquire this guy? And what would they have to give up to do it?
Well, that's the thing, Joe. I mean, first of all, Jacksonville is not really looking to move him. They don't want to move him. He's going to have to really force the issue. And I don't know that they're at that point yet where they're ready to just give in. You know, it might have to be like when he doesn't show up for the season or something.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And the other thing is that would take, you're not getting a wide receiver, one of the better wide receivers in this draft if you make that trade, because you've got to give up all kinds of stuff to get that guy, I would think. I just don't see how they could do it without having brought in a wide receiver, you know, in free agency or through trade. I would be really leery of that. It'd be a great guy to have, but I just don't see how they could do it. I don't know what they could put together that would really, a guy with that value at that age, it's going to take a big package, I would think. It's too bad he doesn't play for Houston, and then you could get him
all but. Right? How does Bill O'Brien still have a job? I don't know. That still amazes me. But we're with Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Les, Kenneth Murray and Patrick Queen keep coming up, and the Eagles, as we know, haven't taken a linebacker in the first round since 79. Jerry Robinson was also the 21st pick. They took a couple linebackers in the last 8 years high. Michael Kendricks went in the second round. Mm-hmm. Jordan Hicks went in the third round. Both were productive. One started for the Super Bowl team. The other would have, but he was injured. And when he did play, he was a playmaker. And you can see that they need playmakers on defense. They're kind of bereft of them. Would you have a problem if they took a Kenneth Murray or a Patrick Queen with the first pick?
Not really. Again, if they can address wide receiver adequately later on, I would not. They're in a tough position at linebacker. I know they don't value the position real high, but Jim Schwartz's defense puts some pressure on those linebackers. You know, nobody on the defensive line is really looking to stop the run, and there are some coverage responsibilities that the linebackers have, and they kind of devalue it because they can use safeties and extra corners and get into packages where they only have one or two linebackers on the field, but it sure helps if those one or two linebackers are really good.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I would like that. You know, again, you gotta convince me that they are going to find a really good wide receiver somewhere else if they do that.
They obviously would have to give up a lot to move down to 12 or 13 and take a CD Lamb. But there are two other guys, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. Some mock drafts, I see Henry Ruggs falling to 21. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but they might not have to move up that much to maybe land a Henry Ruggs. Do you think they'd be interested in him? I mean, I'm sure they would.
The danger is he hasn't been the main guy at Alabama because Jeudy is so good, but we've seen guys the last few years. I think that was something the Eagles learned from last season, is that they kind of overlooked guys like McLaurin down in Washington because he wasn't a star at Ohio State. And, you know, if a guy's not a star in college, you know, how good is he? But the fact was Ohio State was so good that they didn't really get him the ball enough. It wasn't his fault. And he's a darn good player. And I think the Eagles kind of learned from that a little bit. That's kind of the knock on Ruggs, is Jeudy was the number one guy and the team was so good. And, you know, he hasn't run a real, you know, varied route tree. He's raw. But he runs a 4.27 40 and he catches the ball. And I think you can work with that if you have good coaches, you know.
Yeah.
I'd love to have Henry Ruggs. I'd love to have Jerry Jeudy, you know, or even Jefferson from LSU. If Jefferson's there at 21, I'd take Jefferson. He's not a speed guy, but everybody gets so obsessed about he's played so much from the slot. I don't think that matters. I think he could play outside. I wouldn't bypass him just because of that. It's one story that I'm writing this week is it's really hard to evaluate wide receivers at the first, especially early in the draft. You see a huge bust rate there. If you go back and look at the last 10 or so drafts, there's so many wide receivers who went top 10, top 15, top 20. And you're like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. You know, it's somebody that was never any good.
Right.
And the reason, part of the reason is that you don't see press coverage in college. I was watching some highlight tape of Brandon Ayuk, the other day, who's a very, you know, highly renowned, prospect.
The kid from Arizona State.
Maybe a second round guy, especially if you traded back and had like a high second round pick, you know, that might be somebody you would want. I can't find any film with him playing against press coverage. All the film is the corners are like 12 yards off and he just sort of takes off and runs past people. And how do you know if that guy can play in the NFL? I don't, from watching that. I have no idea. A lot of his catches are on screens and things like that, which is, you know, something the Eagles do, but they have other people that can catch screens. That's not really what they, you know, what they're in the draft looking for right now. It's really hard with wide receivers. Henry Ruggs, like, you know, I think he certainly has all the tools. I've met him. He was at the Senior Bowl practices. Really good guy, I think, as far as I can tell. His parents both worked for the state of Alabama. You know, he had solid upbringing and all that. And I feel the same way about Jefferson. I think they're both pretty safe picks for the Eagles.
All right, let me ask you this before I let you go, Les, because you did write an article about the logistics of Thursday night. Do you foresee any problems with the way it's set up, where everyone's in their own home and making picks and communicating that way? And does it hurt the teams that are more aggressive and like to make trades because it's a little bit more difficult to get to a lot of teams quickly?
That's an interesting thought. That's something a lot of people have brought up. Howie Roseman did not buy into that notion. His point was that if we're going to talk to the New York Jets and Joe Douglas, we'd be talking to him on the phone anyway. It's not any different than if we were at NovaCare. But it kind of is, because if you're at NovaCare and you get a call from Joe Douglas, you can sort of put your hand over the, you know, part of the phone and say, hey, I've got Joe Douglas on the line, to everybody else in the room. Jeff Lurie,
right.
Doug Peterson,
right.
You know, and kind of discuss very quickly in a matter of seconds, because sometimes teams are trying to do this while they're on the clock with a pick, you know, and you can, you know, in a minute you can say, okay, yeah, we'd like to do that, or no, we're going to need such and such. I don't know that you can engineer that in this when everybody's on their computer. He talked about having different rooms on the computers, you know, the scouts will be in this room, sort of, you know, cyber room. And it just seems complicated to me. We'll see. I mean, nobody has any idea whether it will work because it's never been done.
Unprecedented.
And, I think everybody will be able to make their trades, make their picks all right. But as far as trades go, I think that might be a little more complicated. I really do.
I agree with you. I think it might hurt the Patriots, too, because Bill Belichick likes to do a lot of wheeling and dealing. Les, appreciate it, man. Great talking to you. Enjoy the draft Thursday night. We look forward to reading your articles on what the Eagles do come Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And, again, appreciate your time, pal, and hope you're staying safe.
You too, Joe. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Les. Les Bowen on the Comcast Business Hotline from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Great stuff as usual. We'll talk about some of the things that Les talked about. On the other side, I'm Joe Stajak here at 8 o'clock. Stick around.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Joe Stajak here. It is straight up 5:30 on a Sunday afternoon. Beautiful Sunday out there. Great day to maybe take a walk while keeping your distance from other folks. Beautiful day out there. Just a gorgeous day. We had the glass doors open with the screen so you can get some fresh air. It's a good time. The kids were playing outside. People were walking their dogs. A couple of people going for runs. Doesn't look like a ghost town, but during the week, things shut down pretty well, and people are still doing the social distancing thing. I know that... some of my friends like to get together with like a virtual cocktail party on Friday nights. It's not really my thing, but I make an appearance. I say hello, do my thing for a little bit, and then I bounce. But a lot of people are doing that, trying to connect that way. It's just crazy, unprecedented times, and I'm not so sure it's going to fix itself anytime soon. So as much as I thought when this started that football was safe, I don't think it's safe anymore. I don't think football's safe. They keep talking about having NHL and NBA games and Major League Baseball games without fans. I don't know if the whole thing's going to work. I don't. I'd still watch. You know, I hear some people, and I don't understand it at all, say, well, let's scrap the Sixers season. I don't want to see them come back and play. I don't care about them. Let's just scrap it. Wait till next year. Why? What's the downside of watching your team finish out a season? There's no downside. You know, teams have historically, well, there's been situations where teams have not performed well during the year and have come together during the playoffs and have made a serious run or two. I don't think this team's ripe for that. I think it's extremely dysfunctional and needs a coaching change and a few other tweaks. But I'm still interested to see how they do, how they perform. Because I don't think there are any other beasts except for Milwaukee in the East. Everyone else is, to me, mediocre. I think the Sixers, is certainly if they have home court advantage, they play like a different team at home.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if the neutral court, because they were terrible. They were just awful on the road with an opposing crowd, and they were amazing at home with a crowd on their side. So what will they be like with no crowd at all?
Zero crowd.
I assume they'd be like middling, where they'd be an okay team, and they could maybe make a little bit of a run.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Law of average.
I know. It's going to be interesting to see what they can pull off. Because you run the risk of running into next year's training camps. And if it's me, I wait, play these seasons out. And if I have to, I start next season, December or January. I don't worry about the fall. Make sure you finish your season out. Do it the right way. If it takes a certain amount of time, that's fine. and start the next season, making your next season a truncated season, like they did in 95. It was a 48, 49 game season, the year the Flyers went to the conference finals, played the Devs. The year LeClaire got here, teamed up with Renberg and Lindros. Nothing wrong with that. Make it a truncated season next year. You'll still have your playoffs. You will have had your playoffs this year. Everyone's happy. That's what I would do. I would not cut it off if it's like June, mid-June, and they can't seem to get it together just because there's supposed to be training camp starting in September. I'd move next season back. Make sure you get this season in. 610-632-0975. Evan and Manioc, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Evan?
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good. Just shooting hoops, trying to stay active, but not doing too much, honestly.
Good, man. As long as you're staying healthy.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm going with a trade to Jacksonville, so I would go with Fournette and Ngakoue and maybe D.D. Westbrook. I know it doesn't work out. You don't get three players. I know I'm wishing, but for Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz straight up, maybe you wouldn't have to get rid of a pick.
I'm only silent because I'm thinking about it. Go ahead. Keep going. Go ahead.
And then I'm thinking, on the draft day, you might as well call up Bill O'Brien and get a free pick from him because he's giving away picks. So I don't even know what's going on up there. So
he's brutal.
I don't think he had any more picks to give out.
he's brutal. The fact
he's already handed them all out like Halloween candy.
The fact he still has a job is incredible to me. It's incredible.
I want a draft simulator as well, but let me make one more point. I'm with you. I want another shutdown cornerback. So if you can get C.J. Henderson, you might as well.
If you can get him, if he drops to 21, I'd certainly consider it. They need someone on the other side of Darius Slay, and you've seen how successful they've been when they've had stellar cornerbacks on both sides, Troy and Bobby, and then Lito and Sheldon. I mean, we've seen how important that position is. That's why the Patriots have been so successful. Stephon Gilmore, Devin McCourty have been there for a while. I mean, they have two lockdown corners. The Eagles had it when they went to the Super Bowl. It's extremely important. If C.J. Henderson does fall, I would certainly consider taking him at 21. All right, now it's your turn to do the draft simulator, Evan. Dylan, take it away.
Okay, so you're on the board at pick 21. Henry Ruggs is available again. Justin Jefferson is available. Both linebackers, Queen and Murray, are available.
Wow. What the hell happened?
There is no C.J. Henderson, but there is Jeff Gladney. He's the best cornerback on the board of corners. What
do
you want?
Not even a question here. I'm going Henry Ruggs.
There you go.
Okay. Appreciate it, Evan. So we go Henry Ruggs. We got to vote for Henry Ruggs. He drops to 21, huh? Interesting. And Jefferson was there, too.
Yep, those two were there.
And Evan went Ruggs over Jefferson. I think yes. I'd do the same thing.
I think Ruggs is more special. I like Justin Jefferson. I wouldn't scoff at a Justin Jefferson pick, but I think Ruggs could be really special. He could be Tyreek Hill, and you saw just how special Tyreek Hill
is special.
Was in the Super Bowl when he made some pretty big plays for them.
He's special, and that speed is something that certainly is an asset to have, breathtaking speed like that. That's why, DeSean Jackson, they say he's a one-trick pony. It's a pretty good trick when you have speed like that and you can separate yourself from the pack and get separation, acceleration, explosiveness. Again, 100 touches, and he plays in the shadow of Jerry Jeudy. 100 touches, 25 touchdowns. One of them came on the ground on a running play, but he caught 24 through the air, did Henry Ruggs. So every four times he touches the ball, or at least touched the ball at Alabama, he scored a touchdown. So that's pretty impressive. I would do that. I think the team needs to upgrade their speed big time. You see what Kansas City did, and how they've drafted, and how they've assembled a team that has blazing speed in a lot of different areas. And you can tell they play that way. They play fast. Of course, it's nice to have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who can throw the ball 75 yards with the flick of a wrist. And although I think he's slightly overrated, I'm going to say that. I think Patrick Mahomes, everyone's in love with him. He didn't play all that well in the Super Bowl until the last couple minutes. I think he can be made to look mediocre at times. I think he's done some wonderful things. 50 touchdowns in your rookie year, that's incredible. But I think people are jumping the gun, calling him the best player in the league already in his second year, or third year, actually. Second year starting. Just not to take anything away from him. I think he's fantastic. I think he's a great kid. Seems like a pretty decent human being. A great quarterback and a guy who brought his team back from 10 down without the ball with 8 minutes left in the Super Bowl to win going away. They won by 11. Pretty impressive job by Patrick Mahomes. I'm not ready to anoint him the best player in the league yet. 610-632-0975. You going to be watching the Michael Jordan documentary tonight? It's another thing I wanted to throw out there. No one's gotten the Brady thing yet. Maybe just people don't care, but what did Tom Brady do this past week that really got under my skin? And it's hard to do that to me. It's hard for Tom Brady to get under my skin unless he's beating my team in the Super Bowl. He did something this week that's just, it's beneath him. It's really beneath 12 to do. And he did it, and he's proud of it, and I was just disappointed. In terms of the documentary, I don't want to do a who's the best player in basketball history ever, but the Mount Rushmore, Mike is obviously on it. I don't think I'm going to get arguments with anyone there, but who are the other three? What are the three guys you put on the Mount Rushmore with Mike? I know LeBron's going to get a lot of votes. You know, maybe Wilt, maybe Kareem. If you want to go back, go a little old school. And I think you have a pretty nice Rushmore, Mount Rushmore right there. If you stop there, I got another guy I'm going to put in instead of Kareem. It's hard to do because Kareem was certainly dominant with that skyhook and the all-time leading scorer and, you know, won 5 championships with LA and just was a beast. But I got someone else. I mentioned yesterday, Steve Callis is a big fan of his as well. He'll be on at 6:10 to break down some draft items and talk about his Mount Rushmore. But who are your other three guys on your Mount Rushmore of NBA Hall of Famers? Along with Mike, 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stajak. I'm here till 8 o'clock, and we're coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stajak in the house. Here till 8 o'clock tonight. Steve Callis from Callis Remarks, my podcast partner, coming on at 6:10. You can follow me on Twitter at JoeStajak975. I mentioned earlier that I think the Washington Redskins will regret taking Chase Young number 2 over Tua. I think Tua is a generational talent and a franchise quarterback. I didn't think Dwayne Haskins was when he was drafted, although I thought he was pretty good at Ohio State, but I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I just don't. I could be wrong. And I got a couple tweets, some feedback on that, because I think they're going to be mired in sub-mediocrity for the next 10 to 15 years if they pass on a franchise quarterback here. Let's see. This is from Shane Berrios. He's actually retweeting. Wrong, my bad. Derek Klassen says, I'm through enough of Haskins tape now that I feel good about double down on this. Any suggestion that Washington should move on from him already is ludicrous, especially drafting Tua over Chase Young or trading out. This is not Josh Rosen, LOL. Okay, and then Bashir Umar Pemberton chimes in and says, what does he say? He says, well, where are we at? He says, tell the clueless one, Joe Stajak, that who says Haskins isn't a franchise quarterback but hasn't watched anything but highlights. Hashtag fraud. Well, let's go to the numbers, shall we? I know it was his first season, so we'll give him some slack. Dwayne Haskins started 7 games last year for the Skins. He played in 9. He was 2-5. His record was 2-5, 2 wins, 5 losses. Completion percentage was under 60 at 58.6. 1,365 yards, that's good enough for 151 yards per game. 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Does that scream franchise quarterback to you, to anybody? Again, it's his first season. I get it. If I had the time, I might give him the time. But I'm staring at pick number 2 overall because my team won 3 games last year. And I'm looking at a generational talent in Tua, the kid from Alabama that Trent Dilfer just has been effusive over. In fact, let me read this. Now, again, Trent Dilfer isn't the be-all and end-all of analysts, but he says this. This is Trent Dilfer, former Super Bowl-winning quarterback with the Ravens, also played for Fresno State, is now an analyst on ESPN, says, Tua is the single best prospect I have ever studied in my years of doing it. That was on the Colin Cowherd Show November 11th. Then he says to the Washington Post, whoever gets him wins the draft because you are getting a Hall of Fame player. He said that to the Washington Post a few days ago, April 8th. And then on April 11th, he says to the Rich Eisen Show, he's a one percenter human being, talent, leader, anything you want to say, he is a one percenter. And he said this to 247 Sports. I don't think Tua gets enough credit. So let's use cars, engines as an example. Joe Burrow's a luxury sedan. He has a lot of horsepower, but if you've ever driven a luxury sedan, there's a lag. When you press on the gas, it goes, okay, all right, now it's time to go. It's a great thing to have. He's an A8 Audi, but Tua is a Maserati. Tua, when you just barely touch on the gas, you get jolted. There's that torque that those engines have. He's got such immediate power. He doesn't have to gather into his power. There's no lag. He can tap into it, whether it's his feet or his arm, immediately. I think he's the single best prospect I've ever seen. Can he be hyperbolic sometimes? Maybe. But the single best prospect he's ever seen? I'm not even saying that. And I love Tua. I think he's going to be phenomenal. It's a shame he's not 6'3". Because there is the downside of his height, although Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer at 6 foot tall. But Tua doesn't have 6'3 height. He's about 6 foot, 6'1, maybe. Some places he's 5'11, but he can do it all.
But yeah, height matters more, though, if you're going to be constantly in the pocket. If you're on the move,
he'll be on the move.
Height doesn't matter as much when you're someone who's mobile and moving out of the pocket a lot. That's,
look, I mean, look at Kyler Murray. Yeah. He had a pretty damn good rookie year.
Russell Wilson isn't the tallest guy.
Russell Wilson's 5'11",
yeah,
and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
I mean, Drew Brees is a pocket guy. He somehow does. I don't know how he does it, being that short. I don't know how he sees over some of these big centers, but
he's amazing.
I don't think it'll be as much of a problem with Tua.
No, I don't think so. Now, the injury history may have scared off some folks, or might scare off some folks, but again, if you're Ron Rivera, you're coming in, Dwayne Haskins, that wasn't your selection. He brings over Kyle Allen with him. What message does that send to Dwayne Haskins? Kyle Allen played most of the year in Carolina because Cam Newton was hurt. Played okay, too. But they'll probably end up taking Chase Young, who's probably the best, well, at least in a lot of outlets, have Chase Young as the best player in this draft. I think Tua is, to be honest. And if Tua goes 1 to Cincinnati, which he won't, then I would take Joe Burrow if I'm Washington. I take one of those two guys to be my franchise guy for the next 10 years, next 10, 12, 15 years. But Dwayne Haskins, what the hell has he done? Very marginal last year. Very marginal. To say he's a franchise quarterback, I mean, you might be cutting him short saying he's not a franchise quarterback, which I'm doing. But he's done nothing to tell me that I can see Dwayne Haskins. His upside is huge. His ceiling is huge. He was 2-5 last year. Oh, granted, he plays for a bad team. 151 yards per game, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, completion percentage under 60. It's pretty unremarkable. These numbers are unremarkable. Kyler Murray played for a bad team, had a pretty damn good rookie year. Carson Wentz played for a pretty bad Eagles team, had a nice rookie year. These numbers are very unremarkable. And that's just my opinion. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he's a serviceable quarterback. You're not going to win a lot of games just because you have a dominant edge rusher, which he may or may not be. Chicago has Khalil Mack now. One of the most dominant defensive linebacker / defensive ends in the league, and they did nothing last year. Did nothing.
Washington has had a pretty good pass rush for a while. I mean, Ryan Kerrigan's a very good player.
Yes, he is.
And it hasn't helped them that much. It helps them be... I mean, quarterbacks don't want to play against them because they're going to get hit a lot, but Washington still loses a lot of those games.
They lose a lot of those games. You need the quarterbacks, the position you need to build your team around. You really want to build your team around Dwayne Haskins? That's who is at the center of your franchise universe, Dwayne Haskins? Again, I'm thinking Trent Dilfer might be a little hyperbolic, but he's calling him the best prospect he's ever seen, ever. In all the years he's been looking at tape, even I won't go that far. That's saying something. And again, Trent Dilfer isn't the be-all and end-all of analysts, but I think he's pretty good. I think he's pretty damn good. But again, this isn't science. There are busts every year that should have been locks. There are locks that should have been busts. You never know who's going to be plagued with injuries. You know, Carson Wentz, one of those guys who's been plagued with injuries. Other quarterbacks have been injured as well. Aaron Rodgers basically had 2 seasons cut short because of his collarbone. And then you have guys like Russell Wilson who never miss a game. Eli Manning never miss a game. It's amazing. Some guys are just injury prone and others are just durable. Now, Tua, if you ask me, has some injury issues or has had them. But the ankles, I'm okay with the ankles. The hip is what I'd be concerned with, and apparently it's 100% and he's ready to go, except this is so unprecedented. Teams don't have the luxury of bringing guys in and having a medical staff go over the health of these prospective draft picks. It's going to be much more difficult this year to really, really vet these guys. And next year, if there's no college football season, what's that going to look like? That's going to be crazy. Hey, Steve Callis coming up at 6:10 on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stajak. I'm here till 8 o'clock, 610-632-0975. And in light of the Michael Jordan documentary tonight, we're not arguing who the best player of all time is, but Mike certainly would be on Mount Rushmore. I don't think anyone's going to argue with me there. Who are the other 3 guys you put up there with Mike on your Mount Rushmore? 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stajak. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.